Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. We are back on the property train today, and we've got plenty to discuss along the way, dear listener. On our journey, we will be chatting about building strong financial foundations, about purchasing a home to live in versus an investment property, about opportunity cost, and about the importance of property when it comes to retirement and retirement finances. Why are we digging into these points in particular? Well, they are just some of the topics that today's guest has tackled in her new book, Money for Life: How to Build Financial Security from Firm Foundations. So I'm very pleased to say that joining us on the show today is, surprise, surprise, the author of that book, financial advisor and friend of the podcast, Helen Baker. Helen, welcome back to Friends with Money.
Thank you. Lovely to be back. Hi to everybody.
It is lovely to have you back on board, Helen. It seems like it's been a while, but yes, good to have you back on. First of all, Helen, this isn't your first book. So what made you want to write Money for Life and I guess really tackle the subject of property in a big way?
Well, I think people might be surprised to know that there are 40,000 plus women living out of cars in Australia. And when I talk about that overseas, people are like, in Australia. It's like, yeah, we're the lucky country, but we have problems, and for men as well. And then combine that with the fact that many people now are not able to get financial advice. And it's really these people that have lower super and so on that we really should be helping, because that makes the difference between the lifestyle that they have in retirement versus the one they'd like to have. So getting on the front foot as early as possible. So it's about getting the message out to everybody, really, because, you know, a book is nowhere near as expensive as financial advice.
That makes complete sense to me. And I think you've set me up for the very first question that I wanted to get into about what people can kind of do a little bit earlier on. So before we get into property, at the kind of beginning of your book, you talk about building strong financial foundations. What kind of foundations are we talking about here, Helen? And why, in your opinion, is it so important to get these in place early on?
Well, interesting. I often link it back to property and say, you know, when you're building a property, you put a lot of money into the steel and the concrete to hold it up when cyclones and things come so it doesn't get knocked down. And often what we find is when people are investing, whether it be in property or other investments, they don't have those foundations in place. And then when something goes wrong, they're forced to sell that investment that they struggled so hard to get to in the first place. So fortunately, no one has ever passed my five foundation test. So there is always something that people can focus on. It starts off with number one being an emergency fund. And we saw the difference between how much we needed when COVID struck versus how much we had. So that's one in case we lose our job, for example, or something significant happened. The second one's what I call a spending and an investment plan, as opposed to a budget, budgets that feel a bit restrictive and handcuffed. So we want to spend, we want to have life, but we need to make sure we've got some extra. And then the investment part is, well, do you put it on a home? Do you put it in investment property? Do you put it in super? And all of that needs analysis. The third one is insurances. So that combination between private health, general insurance, and the personal insurances. And often that's a big area where people don't have that quite right, to either overinsured or underinsured. Fourth being superannuation and all the bits around maximizing that, not consolidating, and you'll find out why if you check anything out from other articles. And then number five, which is estate planning, which is around the wills and things that I'm a big fan of, like testamentary, discretionary trusts and so on. So if you get those right, then you can build things on top, because if you lose your job, you've got the emergency fund. If you get sick and can't work, you've got the insurances to fall back on. So that's probably the best you can do in terms of propping up all these things that you're trying to build for your wealth, for your lifestyle now and long term.
I really like the kind of building analogy and the foundation analogy with property itself. I think that's really useful. So that brings us very nicely on to the subject of property kind of in full now, Helen. I'd like to ask you a broad question to start with, though. Why do you think that home ownership matters in Australia? And you've touched a little bit about that on the subject in the answer to your first question, but it'd be great to expand a little bit more.
Well, I think the obvious reason is we need a roof over our head to live. So that's kind of the given. But I think as well, if you have property, it gives you the opportunity to borrow against that property in order to do other things, such as investing maybe in shares or managed funds or an investment property or a business. The banks are always looking for that certainty and that security, and we want security ourselves. So it's important to have that. But it's also that opportunity to build. And, you know, when you look at people in retirement, they're already behind just on the age pension, so they need super and other things to top them up. But the assumption is that you already own your own home. It doesn't really consider the amount of rent that you'd have to pay or having to still pay off a debt. So again, these things that we're trying to do on the front foot to get us in the best position for now and long term.
I definitely like to pick back up on the topic of property and retirement a bit later on, Helen, because I think it's so important. But to kind of continue on, I'd love to get your thoughts on buying an investment property versus buying a home to live in, and what, you know, people might want to think about with either option. So what are your thoughts there?
It's a classic case of the it depends whether you should do this or not. So it depends on your goals. It depends on what your financial position is like. But I think what is great is a lot of people want to retire somewhere different to where they currently live. So there's opportunities for people to buy in those places, rent that out. Then they've already got a fixture in that market, something that they can move into later. Whereas for now, their lifestyle might mean they need to be maybe in the city for work and managing transport costs and time getting to and from work and so on. So I think it's an opportunity for people to consider, do I want to buy a home now, knowing that all the debt, all the mortgage that I'm paying is non-tax deductible, or does it make more sense to rent somewhere that's probably cheaper and buy somewhere else, get an anchor into the market, and then use the interest and so on as tax deductible interest? So you're considering tax, you're considering income and expenses, all those sorts of things, and the affordability factor. And also just timing, because I think sometimes nowadays people want to do some travel, they want to have a bit of flex in their life. So it may not make sense to have a big anchor in the perfect home when they might look at other strategies and bringing it all together for the longer term when there's more consistency or wanting to be more stable in a particular location. So the good thing is all of them work. It's about what's right for you and when and how much and all of those bits and pieces that work together.
And listeners, we've done a full episode on rent vesting. If you search for it in our feed, you'll be able to find that, because I think it's a really interesting idea and obviously one that a lot of people, especially younger people, kind of looking at the moment. Helen, you have a whole section in your book on financing, which I love. And I think it's a really important topic, you know, given the sums of money involved with property purchases. So what are some of the, you know, major takeaways that buyers may want to know about financing that they might not, I guess, appreciate already?
Yeah, it's a great point on financing because it's a big amount of money that's being borrowed. So anything that you can do that's really smart is going to stretch your overall money further, which is great. So obviously considerations around, you know, do you fix, do you do variable, do you a combination of both? One of the other things that's a big issue is loyalty tax. Often we stick with the bank that we're with, but just like super, if you go to that organization, they cannot recommend, oh, you should go down the road to that bank because they've got a cheaper deal or so on. So I'm a big fan of the use of mortgage brokers, but also because I find, certainly with mortgage brokers I work with, they're able to do some scenarios. So just because you might be able to borrow an amount of money, the question is, should you? And what does that look like over the long term? And how do they make things work? So they can think sometimes a little more strategically than just a straight borrowing for this amount of money. So you're looking at, can I get the best deal or a smart deal? Should I have an offset account or not? Should I just do a line of credit? All of those bits and pieces, but also about what does that kind of look like for me? And then what happens if some things change, and how do I bolt on other property or other investments? So really having a look at the strategy around it rather than just straight borrowing, what's the best finance rate for me or what would the finance rate be? I think we want to think more about strategy as well.
Yeah, I thought that bit was really interesting, Helen, and emphasizing the fact, as you said, that mortgage brokers are a lot more than just comparators of loan rates. They can provide a lot more in terms of their services for borrowers, which I found out personally more recently. One of the other really interesting parts of the book was this idea of opportunity cost in relation to property. So, can you, I guess, explain what you mean by that and what people, I guess, might want to think about beyond property?
Yeah, so I think, particularly in the past, the mindset was, I pay off my home and then I start building my super or I start building other wealth. And the problem with that is a lot of people will run out of time in order to do that. And when we're investing, we know that time is our friend. It's our opportunity to keep building and building and building on that. Even if you invested something at the start and never added to it again, that is still working and growing. Classic is like a super investment. If you stopped work, it's still growing over time. So what we want to look at is what makes sense to run paying off this home and other things in parallel over time. So a lot of people think in silos. When I'm looking at something, I'm thinking, how does it all fit together? So does it make more sense to put some money into super, get some instant tax savings there and grow your wealth in a 15% tax base? Or does it make more sense to do an investment property, or does it make sense to pay more off the home? And it depends, as always, it's a classic, it depends, which is where advice comes in. But, you have to think big picture about all of these strategies that are available to you. Even simple things like if you're a couple and somebody's having time off work, does it make sense to do what's called a spouse contribution or a co-contribution? And it might not be every year. It just might be relevant for that particular point in time that you're going to maximize your wealth more by doing that strategy at that point in time, rather than paying more off the home loan. So it's all of those bits working together. And that's what makes finance so much fun.
Helen, I've left what is perhaps the most important topic for last, and it's one that you spend a lot of time addressing in your book. Why can owning property be so important when it comes to people's retirement?
Mainly because it's a big asset which carries wealth, but I think a lot of people would like some age pension. Even if you could get $1 of age pension, you get the benefits such as reduced rates, reduced electricity, healthcare cards, some of those other benefits that make your overall expenses less and stretches your finances even further. So getting some age pension is great. And fortunately, the home is not counted for age pension purposes at this point in time and hasn't been forever. So, this is where we see people maybe in Sydney with like $3 million, $4 million property, but they're getting full age pension because they don't have enough of other investments. But I think the luxury you have is that if you already have a home, which is probably too big now that kids have flown the coop or whatever, and you're retiring, and it could be a health decision as well, a mobility decision, could be a location decision, but you can downsize out of that property, allowing you to put some more money back into super, providing you meet all the criteria. But it's a store of wealth if you're downsizing or if you're going into something that costs less to purchase, you've then boosted your retirement funding to get out there and live. And then if you can marry that up with your home, your age pension at some level, whether it's part or full, and then this super, you're going to have one of the best types of retirement that you could enjoy rather than being cooped up watching every penny because the age pension is already behind what we need to live off from a cost of living perspective.
I feel like we've run through so many topics already today, but also barely kind of got into what you get into and the level that you get into in your book, Helen. So for people who are interested in learning a lot more, where can they find a copy of your book?
Well, I've always wanted to say it's available in all good bookstores. So yes, it's online. All your favorite bookstores should have it. You can also get it through my website on yourowntwofeet.com.au or via Major Street Publishing House as well. So it's out there. Help you. I hope it makes a big difference to you, your life, and your kids as well.
Brilliant. Well, Helen, it has been a pleasure having you on the show today, as it always is. So thank you so much for coming on, for giving your time and for providing us with so many wonderful insights. And as I said, we'll look forward to having you back on the show again really soon.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends with Money will be right back in your podcast feed next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.